Welcome everyone to another episode of the Definitive Crusade. I am your host as always, Johnny the Machine Hughes. Joining me from across the big pond, we have random dude Josh. Josh, how's it going?
It's going. How you doing?
How you doing? Of course, we have Freya. Freya, how are you?
I'm doing great.
It sounds like you're saying that through gritted teeth. So.
I really am.
Oh, dear God. We're in for that type of show. Apologies for people expecting to hear our lovely Irish lady, Tracy, on the pod. Tracy, we miss you. Can't wait to have you back on the pod. Currently, Tracy is stranded in a train somewhere. Hopefully, it's not on the way to the Rock of Eternity. Although it probably feels like eternity being stuck there, but never mind. So. kill me for that.
Okay. Well, right. You know, it could have been worse. I mean, she could be stranded waiting for one of the lantern rings to show up for her.
Ooh, there's it. Which lantern ring would go with Tracy, do you think?
Ooh, I don't know. The fact that we even associated her with the lanterns. I'm going to say definitely red. She's going to get the rage, yep.
Going
indigo. You're going what? Sorry, indigo.
Or whatever.
Yeah. So you're going with hope. Oh, that's nice. Which one? I'm going with yellow, because when she hears us talking about lanterns, we will be scared of her. So... that's kind of where we're at. So, we're going to talk about some of the books that we've got kicking around at the moment. We're going to start off with Black Mask, The Year of the Villain issue. So, Josh, this is your choice. Would you like to take it away?
Absolutely. So, I jumped into this book thinking, okay, let's see if it's a redeeming book from the last Year of the Villain, number one book that I had picked, you know, from Sinestro. I actually enjoyed this one a lot more than I enjoyed Sinestro's. The reason being, I didn't really know a whole lot about Black Mask and some of his background and how crazy he is. Mm-hmm. And so for this book to kind of be like an origin story, I was okay with it. It just gave me a greater appreciation for Black Mask, who he is, and how batshit crazy he is. It also makes sense on why he's batshit crazy. I mean, just the first couple of pages, you look back and go, oh, yeah, I'd go crazy too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the story was great. The artwork I enjoyed. Colors were spot on. It really kind of worked well with who Black Mask is. Mm-hmm. So in that respect, I'm totally okay with this book.
Okay.
Out of all the Year of the Villain books, this one by far has been the one I've enjoyed the most.
Okay. We'll get into specifics in a little bit. It was written by Tom, might be taking over Batman when King leaves, Taylor. Art by Cully, not MC Hamner. Colors were by Dave Stewart, who you'll recognize from Mignolaverse stuff over on Dark Horse. Letters are by Wes Abbott. And the cover is by Mitch Gerard, the guy that filled in for Clayman over on Heroes. Freya, what did you think of this book?
So, I actually really, really liked it. Unlike Josh, I knew quite a bit about Black Mask already, and
who slapped down?
Yeah. Anyway, but
duly noted.
You thought you were the Batman fanatic, but
just you wait.
I know you are. I know you are. I've been here.
You're getting out of this hole now. You have started digging.
I always liked his origin story. But again, I've always liked Batman's villains more than anyone else's because they're all insane. And mm-hmm. when you get their backstories, they are all unique. They're not just, oh, this person's evil, blah, blah, blah. It's they, you know, they are actually insane. They need help. And that's also why I like Batman, is he is legitimately trying to get these people help that they need. And Black Mask killing his parents because of they're just a child abuse and all sorts of things, and him hating Bruce because of course he does. Everyone's parents, you know, it's not Bruce's fault that your parents are shit and, you know, treat you like trash because his parents, you know, were the big family. It's just, and he kind of receives this big fallout. And that's why, once again, I just love Batman and all the origin stories and whatnot. And it's nothing that he's done personally. It's just because of who he is, he gets these people that hate him for no real reason. You know, besides they feel inferior to him. And he was a nice kid, you know? So, I mean, it's not like... And then I love the whole thing with Batwoman. She's one of my favorite Bat family members, and I love seeing her. I do like the new power, I guess, that Black Mask gets from Luther. I'm still trying to... Oh, I also do like their little talk on the roof, where he's like... I was worth this much. And Luther just starts laughing and goes, oh, you're cute. You know, like, that's not anything. That's like dimes and nickels to me. It's like, you're not worth shit. So, and I enjoyed it. It was nice. The comedy didn't seem out of place. They wrote Batwoman well, you know, not like her own book series. And the only problem I had was then Black Mask. Well, you know what? It's fine. It doesn't actually bother me that much. But the faces, they're just kind of... I don't know how to describe it. It's not my... Not what I like. Personally, and that's just the preference. I don't like his design, especially with Black Mask as a kid. He just looks super. He looked derpy, and it looked like he had a black eye even before his father backhanded him across, you know, room. It's just
maybe it was there to begin with.
No, maybe.
That's a character.
Then Bruce kind of looked. He looked off too, but. That was that, but besides that, I loved it. I love Black Mask talking to Gary. I think his name was Gary. Like, I shot Gary. I have to get out of here now. You know, it's like, all for Gary. You know? So, like I said, the comedy, it was well placed. It was well written. I actually really like this, even with my nitpicking of the face structure. Sorry,
I picked a book that Freya likes. Yes.
Which is a bad villain. Of course I'm going to probably like it, unless it's Harley, but that's different.
All right, so I actually reviewed this book on Crusaders, on Comic Crusaders last week. I kind of agree with you to with both of you to an extent. The art early doors does seem like, do you remember the Batman cartoon show? Batman animated series one, the one after. Some of the faces look that styled. I think the art reminds me a lot like Scott McDaniel, who used to be on Nightwing way back when, but maybe with some of the over-exaggerated poses and stuff. Freya, you let me down a little bit. I thought you'd pull up the whole panel where Batwoman's swinging in through a car window and the proportions are all over the place. And the guy's holding a gun that actually looks like it's curved. Be like, what's going on there?
You want me to really nitpick? I can go on.
I'm just saying. I expected. I agree with Freya that Batman's villains, for the most part, are villains for a specific reason. They're not like, ooh, I will just become bad. Something happens to them, which mirrors Bruce's trauma. Which is played on in Flashpoint when Thomas takes that choice, and Martha has the choice of she can either do something about it or go batshit crazy and sort of like splits that family a little bit. I didn't mind the Batwoman thing. She's She is a totally different character in this than she is in her own book. She's like a loved up person who just does anything for a girlfriend. And I think, well, that's really not quite it. The only other things I kind of noticed that kind of stuck out a little bit. One I got from the get-go, and what I've just kind of thought of as you were talking there. Lex Luthor's supposed to be super genius. He doesn't know that Batwoman's in Atlanta. Really? Seems like a bit of a piece of information that you should really think about.
Yeah, but he gets beat by Superman, and Superman tends to be a derpeter. So, oh, genius, but yet he falls short in that
no
avenue. Definitely not, no.
If Superman's kind of derp-a-derp, does that really make him a genius, or does that just make him smarter than the derp-a-derp?
Who's the fool? The man who follows a fool. Well, what's happening, man? I've just got into some crazy time over there. Another thing that I kind of point out to all you bat historians out there, the ones that are kind of saying, well, hold on a second, a kid getting jealous of Bruce Wayne, so therefore I'm going to kill my parents, sounds a lot like Hush. Mm-hmm. That's actually a really good point. I'm glad somebody made that. However, what I would like to point out, the Black Mask made his first appearance all the way back in Batman 386 in August 1985. So really, Hush is a play on Black Mask.
The thing about that is, didn't Hush like cut the brakes of his parents' car or something?
Yep. Because he was jealous. He was jealous because Bruce got all the fame and the fortune of being the boy orphan billionaire. So
I think their jealousy is different. Like, this Black Mask hated Bruce because of his perfection and how his parents wanted him essentially to be Bruce. Meanwhile, Hush's parents, he himself was jealous of Bruce, and he wanted to be Bruce. So it was kind of a different, this one was more of the parents pushing their ideology or what they wanted onto their son, and that's causing the breaking point versus the kid just being a dick. And
Bruce is the focal point, isn't it? Without Bruce Wayne, neither of those would have happened.
Yeah, so, but that's
the spin on it, though. Wouldn't then Black Mask be cop? He's actually playing off of Oswald Cobblepot.
Mm-hmm.
What to start this for?
But that's kind of a normal thing when your family is like the wealthiest and whatnot. It causes jealousy. It causes enemies from people that doesn't even make sense. Like, even in reality, kids who are from wealthy families get kidnapped, and why? Because of what family they're from. You know, it's kind of insanity.
And you could argue that Hush, through a methodology, is actually like a different version of Black Mask in methodology alone, because he hides his face, he then gets it changed, and then he starts wearing the bandages. That he is his own false face society up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
So there are similarities. I was just kind of saying.
You can do a lot of conversations with Batman villain.
Yeah, true. That's the truth. That's a fair point. That is a fair point. All right. You're welcome. Next up, probably the best book in my honest opinion, of this whole, I guess, titled books, genre of books, group of books, whatever. I think Justice League Dark has maintained consistency where Odyssey and Justice League have kind of paled a little bit. Freya, that's my first 2 cents worth, I guess. Freya, Justice League Dark, your choice. Thank God you didn't pick Jimmy Olsen, or I would be very blue there. Spin Doctor's reference, go check it out. And Freya, take it away.
All right. So they still have issues. The lack of faces for a lot of people, especially during their fight scenes, is Tana. And once again, I don't know why Wonder Woman's even a part of this. It makes no sense. And I just... anyway, I did like the conversation she has and just the whole look of... I can never say his name properly, and I don't know why, because it's...
John Zatara.
Zatara, yeah, because I always want to say Zatanna.
We all want to say Zatanna, don't worry.
Like, I love his whole, you know, melted face, his kind of two-facey, melted face, fire, that whole conversation. I thought it was awesome, but then again, that's what I want more magic in my Justice League Dark books. I still have an issue with the Upside Down Man because it just feels like it was snagged right out of, you know, and I'm blanking on the show right now, which is very awful of me. Everyone knows what show I'm thinking of, but just
Supernatural.
I swear.
Stranger Things.
Yes, that one. That one. Stranger Things. I bring with their whole the Upside Down. I do like Swamp Thing and how they're using, he's getting them making stakes for them while they're fighting the vampires and, you know, the zombies. And I love the look of Solomon Grundy in this one, how like decomposed he is. It's just, and how he has mice in his mouth. It's just, I just love the character design. And see, this is what I like the villains in Justice League Dark, because, you know, it's supposed to be the creepier villains. It's supposed to be the supernatural ones. And then there's, it's just, but besides that, I don't know why we have a token. I don't know, goth chick. I don't know, okay? She goth, but not goth. I don't know what her name is.
Tracy. In the bar.
Yeah.
Tracy.
Tracy. And why did they put Blue Devil in the bar? I mean...
Because well, they don't have a boulevard.
And then also, when he dropped in the bar, it looks like he gained like 300 pounds. And it doesn't... His proportions are all wrong. Even if he's slouching, he shouldn't... Did I miss something? Did he just like... just let himself go, and I miss that, because
those statues never look like who they're supposed to look like. I mean, look,
no,
at
I mean, Constantine looks massive. When she turns around, like when the woman turns around, he's sitting there. I'm like, holy cow, what happened to you, Constantine? And then all of a sudden, he's skinny again. It just doesn't make sense.
It's all about the dad bod. Let's be honest.
It's dad bod. Anyway, it's just. I don't know, and it kind of, I like the story arc. I'm gonna follow this arc with Justice League Dark. But also, can I say that the variant covers of Man-Bat's awesome? I love it.
Good show.
It is fantastic. He's all veiny. It looks great. Anyway, yeah, it. Story, great. Colors and artwork were great up to their faces and proportions on Constantine and that whole, I don't know, it kind of felt like they got tired near the end of the book.
Yeah, so. More panels. So this book is written by James Tynion IV, art by Alvaro Martinez Bueno, ink by Raul Fernandez, colors by Adriano Lucas, letters by Rob Lee, what I can actually say. The standard cover is by Guillem March with Adraf Prinato. There you go. I'm getting better with these names, aren't I? At least a little bit, you think? No? No one cares?
You're getting there.
Oh, my God.
Saving me.
Okay. As long as I didn't say Freya, I'm all right. Okay. So, Josh, what did you think of Justice League Dark number 14?
It was a good read. I enjoyed it. The whole dark aspect, you know, kind of going more into the magic part of the DC universe is entertaining. And I'd honestly rather read this than Justice League. in all honesty.
Definitely.
I agree with Freya. I'm still a little confused why Wonder Woman's even here. Part of me wonders if it's just, hey, we've put the name Justice League on it, so we need to have at least one member of the Justice League, one of the big names. Wonder Woman, you're up. You know, and then away they go. I love the... It was so well done. And that variant cover of Man-Bat, holy shit. That was awesome. Absolutely awesome. I do agree, the proportions on the faces are kind of wonky. Apparently a helicopter outside. This is what I get when I record outside.
That's a one hell of a bee, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, definitely one hell of a bee.
It's an airwolf. Oh, I love airwolf.
You know, very well could be. You never know. But... All in all, I've enjoyed this run up to this point, so I'm going to stick with it. And no, I'm not just saying that because Freya said it. I've enjoyed it. I did find it weird that Swamp Thing is making steak. Like, wouldn't it be more like veggie burgers or some shit like that? Because, I don't know. That just didn't seem very Swamp Thingy. Ish to do.
I don't know, planting animals and
I'm just amazed. I'm amazed we've got this far without saying well done, medium rare, or the fact that Swamp Thing's got so much wood he likes to give it out.
No, because I did not have wood on the brain.
I leave those jokes to you guys. I'm sorry. Especially you, John. Can do the puns.
Okay. Apparently nobody laughed, so I can't do puns that well. That's great. Yeah. Thanks.
No, it was a great read. Definitely one worth picking up.
Okay. All right. So for me, this book seems to be has been circling the same problem as always. It's like 14 issues in, so that's over a year because it's a monthly book. I don't think they've won a single battle yet. And we also hear about how drastic it is for the world of magic to sort of come to terms or else the world's going to be destroyed. And with all the other tie-ins for all of the smallest of things that happen in the DC universe, it seems that this whole magic has an impact on things isn't shown anywhere else whatsoever. So that's annoying. Tinian seems to have come from the Snyder School of Writing, which means that there's really good setup, but at times not so much great payoff down the line. And for me, the dialogue works great. Freya's right. The meeting with John Turturro is absolutely fantastic. It also goes some way to explain why Wonder Woman's on the team, the fact she's been touched by magic and she potentially has the power to destroy everything. So at least we're getting kind of some nods there. The art... works for me, although I've got to say I was unfamiliar with the version of Clarion that was in this book, because Clarion to me is always the little pixie dude in the suit. He's not blue, but maybe I've missed something. And I've got one more. Oh, well, the colours are great. The colours by Adriana Lucas, I think, set the tone for the book, which really hypes up that whole horror dark vibe that we all like so much. That panel, Frey, that you were talking about with Constantine looking like he's putting like 230 pounds or whatever. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have another question in relation to that. So Wonder Woman shows up in the bar. She's wearing a cowl and stuff, a cape and a hood's down and everything. So she gets surprised by Constantine, and then for some inexplicable reason, she puts her hands to her neck as if she's pulling something down out of the way, but there's nothing there. So all she's really doing is sticking out her chest, and then nothing else has changed from that point. I find that pose, her pose there, like, what is she doing? What's that going on? See what I'm getting at?
Mm-hmm.
like, why? I don't understand. Is she trying to, like, she's sort of like throwing the shawl element of the cape off her shoulders, and yet in the very next panel, she's back in there with her all on top. I think there's something odd about that. Why someone would do that sort of pause. But that's just me, I guess, picking up the random stuff.
There's worse things.
Yeah, but Johnny, when a female has long hair and you're wearing like a cloak or a hoodie or something or a scarf, sometimes that hair gets, you know, stuck in there, and then you get this weird itchy feeling because you have hair going down underneath your clothes. So I'm just gonna say that she was removing some hair that was like falling in between the cloak. I will give the artist benefit of the doubt because I have freakishly long hair right now. And it's a pain in the butt, and it gets everywhere, and it sucks.
It must be long hair pain in the butt.
Sorry, I can't relate. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah, you don't have hair, Josh.
No.
Second slap down.
Yeah, but I expected that one. I opened that one, so I knew that one was coming.
I'm just glad you put it on Josh for a change, you know? Getting a week off.
I can go back to picking on you, Johnny.
Sorry?
I can go back to picking on you.
It's fine. It's cool. I'm happy with my new place in life. It's cool. At least for a while.
Johnny, she's been picking on me for almost 10 years now. I'm used to it.
Really? You guys go that far back?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. So I'm essentially the new kid on the block. Oh. All right. Okay, so the next book we're going to take a look at is... can't believe we're doing this book. Batman, Superman, or depending on your variant cover, Superman, Batman, whichever is your poison. I don't particularly care one way or the other. Number one. Let's get the stats out of the way before I kick this over to you guys. It's written by Joshua, I should still be on the Flash, Williamson. Art by David Marquez. Colors by Alejandro Sanchez. Letters by John L. Hill. See, I've nailed all of those names. Just saying. There you go. Who wants to take this one away? Josh, do you want to go first on this one?
I find it funny that you're like, I can't believe we're reviewing this.
It was my
pick. This is your pick.
Yeah, I know, but I can't believe
I'm your pick.
There's logic. It's the number one book. It's got Batman in it. We all love Batman. So, you know, it's a bit of a big deal. I mean, number one Batman comics don't come out very often. Oh, there's another one. Like a new Bat book every other week. It's like, oh my God. These used to be big things. Now it's like, ho-hum, another Bat book. Okay.
So, all right. Here we go. Where's the drink when I need it? Okay. I'm tired of the Batman Superman books. I feel like it's something that every artist wants to do, every writer wants to do, which I get it. If that's your goal and dream, great, wonderful. But good hell, do we have to have one every other month, it seems like, or every month? I don't know. It's being overdone. So I'm honestly kind of tired of it. However, that being said, I like the artwork in this, especially the panel where you see, looks like Martian Manhunter is, he's not looking so hot. You've got Plastic Man all stretched all over the place. I mean, it was gory and had that horror aspect, something that you would see in like either the Vertigo line or Justice League Dark. And I like the fact that, Superman got blindsided with kryptonite in a very unique way. Just fill the whole damn room with kryptonite-infused oxygen. Smart. I'm still unsure of why we need to have the Batman who laughs in this. I don't know if it's just everyone is so fascinated by him that he's going to end up in every single book as much as the Joker anyway.
If that happens, I'll be leaving DC straight away.
No, you won't.
Yeah, well, I'll just stop buying them because it's like, never mind, carry on.
I did find it quite entertaining that with Commissioner Gordon, you know, he this isn't his first rodeo. And for him to say, this is normally the part where I'm alone, and Superman's still standing there, kind of like what Flash did in the Justice League movie. The only difference was Superman didn't say, oh, wow, they just left. That's rude. And then out. I think it does show the difference between Superman and Batman really well in that Superman does have at least this, that sense of respect of making sure the conversation is ended before he leaves, where Batman's like, okay, got what I needed, I'm out, deuces. But yeah, I mean, I'm over it, but it was still a fun read. So we'll see. Although I will admit, having Billy Baston show up going, for lack of better words, batshit crazy. Did not expect that. And so that was a fun plot twist. Although I will be very upset if Superman fries Shazam's brains out with his heat vision again. So, yeah. That's my thought.
Okay, cool. Freya, what do you think?
So I agree with Josh. I love the artwork, especially that panel where everyone's dead in the satellite. I also like the joke, you know, the smiling Batman where he's like half and half. It was very interesting. And having Superman in Gotham's always kind of, I don't like Superman, but I do like having him in Gotham because of how dark Gotham is and how he just blatantly stands out in comparison to everything else. And can I just say that, why is everyone in just freaking Metropolis seem to be freaking like stupid? Like they go, oh, you know that Batman's a myth, he doesn't really exist. I'm like, he's literally been on camera with Superman, but you know, and you have a flying alien that saves your city, but a man who dresses in a Batman in a bat costume is a myth. Like, yeah, that makes sense. Also, how did Superman miss the fact that Hawkman's floating outside the satellite? He's just chilling outside.
I referenced the whole derp-a-derp comment from earlier.
But seriously, he's just floating out there. I'm like, you didn't notice that Hawkman's floating out in space, Superman? Seriously? And like, that's a giant freaking window. He can see into that room. Why is he just the derpy? I can't. And then he was also going, oh, you sound different, Batman. I'm like, why, if he sounds different, do you just go in, you know, thinking nothing's up when he sounds different? I mean, that would raise some red flags. Oh, you sound weird. Maybe I should, you know, patrol the area before with my X-ray vision that I have because I'm Superman. Apparently, he has everything except for brains. Sorry. Also, how many times do we have to talk about Bruce's parents being shot and killed in Crime Alley? They did it like 3 times in this one book.
About as many times as Uncle Ben gets shot.
Yeah, well. It just bothered me. Also, the fact that they didn't. Okay. I don't know if it's because I just read too many books and blah, 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 but the moment that they went into the evil Batcave or whatever, and they had the little robins standing off to the side, I'm like, yeah, they're freaking going to attack them. Like, they're not really statues. One of them's going to move and attack them. And, of course, I was right because I'm always right. I don't know. Anyway, it's just... It just felt like everyone was just being incredibly stupid in this. And I don't know why we're having this whole Batman is, you know, is my opposite. We don't see eye to eye except for on certain things. And, you know, and he's talking about how, I mean, we get it. We know you're different. You know, that's opposites attract, you know. That's how you work so well. You think of different things from different angles. And Wonder Woman's kind of the center, you know, points of their whole dynamic. It's just, and I'm sick of the Batman who laughs. I thought he was already dead multiple freaking times, and I'm just, I love the creepiness of it, but honestly, I'm just in nymph metal. I'm just done. I'll just continue reading it because I love the artwork, but
okay, cool. All right, so good points all told. So for me, this week's award for Been There, Seen That goes to Batman Superman number one. Not only do we get the often used Crime Alley references, we also get the whole debate of why Batman is different to Superman. Pity we've already seen that when Tom King did it in the double date issues in the Wedding storyline. We also get to see what happens when Batman Who Laughs pretty much gets hold of the heroes and does some unspeakable things to him. Didn't we see that when Joker jokerized the Justice League back in the New 52 run of Batman, which ended up Gordon being Batman for a while? Yes, we did. So I'm kind of thinking to myself, there's nothing new in this book. Coupled with the fact that the Batman Who Laughs is just a Joker, a clever Joker, but it is just a Joker, gives me nothing really of any interest to read in this book. The whole evil villain storyline, the superhero that turns bad, I should say. I like it better when Eclipso does it. When we're gonna get hinted at in Justice League Dark, but this just was it Justice League Dark or Wonder Woman that I read it in? It's a book I've read this week, so. I'm going to turn the good guys bad. You know, I'm not really buying it. And I get Billy Batson can go bad, but Shazam isn't Billy Batson. So should Shazam still be the Shazam that laughs, even once he's changed? That's like saying Rick Jones and Captain Marvel are the same person. They weren't. My final point, I guess, is Gordon. He makes me laugh. He says, oh, no matter how many times I get used to it, I'll never get used to a man flying in Gotham. It wasn't that when you were looking up Gotham Girl's skirt in the early issues of Rebirth when she was floating over your head, was it? You've got pretty used to that, didn't you? You dirty old man. So, the art, I'll give you, is decent, although a little house style for my taste. But maybe I'm just too jaded. You know, there's too many Batman books. It features a character that I care less than I care about Red Hood. And we all know how much I love him. So I'm going to give this, this is probably a one and out for me, I'm afraid.
There you go.
You've been more critical about other books than this. So this isn't the worst you've done.
Really? It's funny because I kind of have my viewpoints all kind of, I start like make notes and stuff, and I listen to you two talk about the books, and it makes me think, well, oh yeah, I didn't consider that. Oh yeah, you know. So I was all ready to say that the art was like a house style and it doesn't add anything to it, but when you've kind of pointed out the horror parts of the early bits, I totally got it. I was like, oh, yeah, I can see that point. So I didn't really sort of want to go down that avenue too much. But, yeah, it's why you guys go first. You know, make me sound better. That's not true at all. Not true at all.
See, seeing something like that would be great if they animated it. So if they took this into one of the animated movies, because they do really well with those. I can imagine how creepy that would be.
I wouldn't get it. The Batman Who Laughs.
I would just, get
it. It's just a character that does nothing for me. It's just the Joker. It is the Joker. So, so it's fine. All right, okay. So DC also, we always talk about like 3 or 4 books a week. But DC have a whole range of other books kicking out that we sometimes don't talk about. Well, oftentimes we probably should. For example, the young adult range of books that you've got. You've got Catwoman. You've got the Raven book, which is going to its 3rd printing. So that tells you how popular that book is. And, of course, we have the Harley Quinn Breaking Glass book also due out. And for you lucky readers, we'll be reviewing this book over on our sister site, Comic Crusaders. So go check out the review. And there's an option there where you can put your name in, send us some details, and you have an opportunity to win 1 of 2 of these books that DC will send directly to you. All right? So go check out the website, comiccrusaders.com. Guys, are there any books that we should be paying attention to that you guys are reading that we don't talk a lot about?
So I read Batman Beyond as well.
You love that book.
I do love that book.
It's one of your must-read books, that one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
You know, it's been such a great change of pace. Like, we've always seen the dynamic between Terry McGinnis and Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
But this latest arc has been really pushing that relationship to its threshold. And that in itself has been very interesting to watch. Because I think at times Bruce is at the point of saying, you know what, I'm done with you. I'm done with Terry. But then it's like, at what point is Terry going to push Bruce to that point of no return?
Does that work both ways? Because in the animated series, in Justice League, for example, when they did the epilogue episode, Terry was saying, I've had enough of Bruce, I'm done.
Yeah, well, to be part of the Bat family, you're going to be pushed to that. I mean, you look at Dick Grayson. You know, he got that point, he's like, I'm out, but then he still keeps coming back. Yes, he comes back as Nightwing. Yeah, not for a while, but he still comes back. You know, Jason Todd, kind of the same thing, but it seemed like Jason was a little more loyal than Dick was as far as still sticking with. I mean, he stuck with Batman to the end. Mm. Boom. Shocker. Spoiler, if you didn't know that. So I'm waiting for something like that to happen in Batman Beyond. And he gets so close where you think it's going to happen and then it doesn't, but it still keeps me coming back for more. So that one I've been enjoying a lot. And then Batgirl as well. Although this most recent Batgirl number 38, the artwork was kind of throwing me off. So I was like, no. Because I like Batgirl and I like what they've done. But the artwork on this one was definitely on the struggle bus.
Okay. I've not looked at the Batgirl book yet, mainly because it's in my order that I pick up from Comic Book Shop. So I like it when we talk about books that I don't have to purchase, because then when I go to the comic book shop to buy it, I've got a pile of comics. I'm like, yeah, I've read it. Yeah, I've read it. Yeah, I've read it.
Yeah. I did read through Martian Manhunter. I'm sorry, but if you make a woman's head and hair look like Johnny Bravo, you got me turned off.
There you go. Thank you very much. Freya, What are you reading that we should all be reading?
I've been reading Lucifer, actually.
Oh, Tracy would be proud.
I know she would, but I love the Lucifer series. It's much darker and grittier than, you know, the usual comics. Like, I don't know. There's something, it's very unique. The artwork's unique and dark, but they at least have the proportions right. Anyway, so it's gotten pretty interesting. Like, heaven's kind of, I guess, falling down around them in a sense. And it's great. I love, but then again, I just love this stuff. Like, there's a demon ripping the head off of a cherub. It's so cool. I love this book.
Okay.
Anyway, if you like dark, gritty stuff that's kind of more mystical and whatnot, I would definitely say Lucifer. Pick that up. And like I said, it's not like the usual DC stuff. So it's a nice little vacation superheroes.
Would you say that Lucifer is Justice League Dark taken to like another level? Just so people can understand.
It's where I wanted Justice League Dark to delve into, be actually darker, have no of the big three, just focus on the mystical elements of the universe, because we all know that's floating around. And yeah, this is what I wanted Justice League Dark to be like, but, you know, we got Wonder Woman, so.
Fair enough. Are you still reading Aquaman?
Yeah. I'm still reading Aquaman. It's been kind of hit and miss with me. Just mostly because of that one arc where he forgot his name and everyone else had forgotten their names. And but he seems to be more, I guess, on track at this point. So in an up way. Except the freaking faces. Anyway.
last time we looked at Aquaman, Mera had to become pregnant, was that right? She had to sire a child?
Yep.
Yeah? Has that been resolved yet? Or is that still an ongoing battle?
An ongoing thing. And then, of course, Luther's in it. Why wouldn't he be? Yeah. It's that still going around, like she still needs to get up, and then Luther being a dick because he's in every single freaking book. He's like Batman now, he's in every book. So Black Manta's back because apparently, you know, he's the only villain of Aquaman, even though we could use, you know, Ocean Master. No, we're gonna use Black Manta again.
Okay. Which sounds like a pain in the bum. All right, okay. So, for me, I think one of the books we don't talk about is Freedom Fighters. I know we've looked at it, I think, maybe once.
I was going to say, we looked at it when it first came out.
Yeah, but I think, have you been reading it since?
No.
There you go, see? I have been regularly buying this book. I love the book. I love the idea. I hope the Justice Society book, when it comes, is half as good as this, and I'll be happy. It's fun. It's a different history of DC. The art's great by Ed Barrows. It just works. It's a fun read. It has its moments, but what book doesn't? Yeah, exactly. I also think there's a couple of books that kind of stagnate, and I think Wonder Woman needs to happen in that book massively for it to get back on track, I guess. And I've got to say that I've kind of fallen off the Supergirl wagon. I haven't picked up Supergirl for a while. I know that I was kind of all over that book for a while, so I have to try and get back to that and see what's going on. But yeah, that's my book. I'm going with that. I'm surprised. Which books are you surprised are still around?
Martian Manhunter, Nightwing.
Well, Martian Manhunter is a maxi series, so you're going to have the 12 issues of that, and then it's done. so that's fine.
I don't know. I mentioned Nightwing because I'm tired of the whole multiple Nightwings and that their costumes coincidentally all are very similar to all the previous costumes that Dick Grayson has worn over the years. I'm done. I'm done with that. I'm done.
Okay.
I don't know if I can stress that enough. I'm done.
Are you done?
Yeah, I'm done.
We're going by Rick.
Yeah.
Rick. Is he still Rick?
Yeah, he's still Rick. Last time I looked.
Yeah.
Cool. Freya, what book are you surprised is still kicking around?
Ooh, let's see.
Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah, well, that's
the second issue of a miniseries. Come on, guys.
You already said Martian Scooby-Doo's doing all right. I already took all the obvious ones. Honestly, the one that I'm kind of surprised that's still around would, besides Martian Manhunter, would actually be, I'm going to say, Style H for Hero.
Just, all right, okay, cool. That's a good shout. For me, Justice League Odyssey.
Oh, is that still kicking around?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I am. You've got Cyborg, which people love. You've got Azrael, that nobody cares about. You've got Jessica Cruz, which everyone loves. Starfire, who everyone loves. These really big characters. And this book is just going awful. It's terrible. It's I'm really surprised. I'd be shocked if after this current arc it doesn't get done and we get those heroes repatriated to their core books again. So we'll see. That's my. I still can't believe they're doing this book, which is a shame because I really like Dan Abnett. I've liked his work in the past. I don't know what's going on with this. Honestly, I don't know if it's just a stretch too far, but it's fine. And then my final question before we go: have you read Batman 77? The one where Jamie invades Gotham.
I enjoyed that one.
Okay. Freya, have you read Batman 77 where Damian... You have. All right. Okay. So, spoilers. We're going to talk about the book quickly. So, if you don't know what the hell we're talking about, pause the damn thing. Go and get the book because we don't want to be responsible for you going, what? Really? Okay. So... Damien's supposed to be a league-trained assassin. How did he get taken down so easy?
Well, you know, this thing called the powers that be.
Jason Todd kicked his ass. Because the plot demands it.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Fair enough. All right. So then the big question is that really Alfred?
I don't think it is.
It can't be. Until the reader sees it, and even then, it's a bit dodgy. It's not Alfred. It's just some dude dressed up in a suit.
Yeah.
Are we agreed on that?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Ah, DC, you've got to be better than that to pull the wool over our eyes. Yeah, we're no, pardon the pun, no Johnny Come Latelys. Yeah, that's not us. All right, cool. But if you don't know what we're talking about, go down and check Batman 77 out because it's a very fun read. Okay. Right, that's it for another episode. All I can say, it was fun. Thank you. Don't forget to check out the UCPN for all your favorite podcasts, including No Price Podcast Outside the Panels. Josh, your shows?
Oh, we got Flipside Focus and... another installment of the Random Dad Chronicles will be coming out this week.
Cool. Freya?
Mm-hmm.
K-pop Cosmo? Is that
Cosmos? We just actually it's an episode of K-Pop Cosmos. We were taking a look at Shiny, and the next episode's going to be coming in September.
There you go. All right. And guys, don't forget to check out Comic Crusaders this week for your chance to win one of two Harley Quinn Breaking Glass books direct from DC. Okay? So this is Johnny the Machine Hughes saying thanks to Josh and Freya, and we'll see you all next time. Adios.
Bye.